TED Audio Collective.
Hey, TED listeners. This is your host, Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. Today, we're going to hear from work futurist Dominic Price, whose advice about how to assess and reconnect with happiness feels especially relevant right now. Stick around after the talk to hear about the ongoing research on what makes people happy and what you can do to cultivate happiness every day.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like active lifestyle, healthy eating, wearable tech, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva.
Support for this podcast comes from The Wonderful Company. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, you probably know the pistachios that come from this company. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. I love the various wonderful pistachio flavors. So in addition to the original flavor, I'm particularly fond of the salt and vinegar. And I keep little packets of them in my car so that I can eat and get some protein on the run. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Add a little curiosity into your routine with TED Talks Daily, the podcast that brings you a new TED Talk every weekday. In less than 15 minutes a day, you'll go beyond the headlines and learn about the big ideas shaping your future. Coming up, how AI will change the way we communicate, how to be a better leader, and more. Listen to TED Talks Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name's Dom Price and I'm a work futurist, which is a made-up job that no one's called me out on yet, but it's got me here on this stage today. My job's all about predicting the future of work, society, the economy, and education, which, as you can sure you can imagine, this year of all the years has been pretty fascinating. Now, there's a huge amount of self-help literature out there that will help you be happier over time. But today, I want to talk to you specifically about being happy in a year like 2020. It's a year like no other. It's a year where many of us haven't felt as much happiness, or our happy days have been reduced to happy minutes and moments. And the uncertainty of the future has quite rightly weighed heavily on our minds. But to talk to you about a year like 2020, and to talk to you about how shit it's been, first of all, I have to tell you how shit my year has been. You see, my sister's my best friend. And a few years ago, I got the call that no brother wants to get. Trudy had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And given that she lived a 24-hour flight away in Manchester, England, as a single mother of two boys, I'm sure you can imagine how I felt. But she's stubborn as an ox. And 6 years later, at the start of 2020, she was still with us. Then February rolled in, and I got another call. This time it was my doctor telling me that I had early stage bowel cancer. A week later, I had a subtotal colectomy, and I had my colon removed. Strangely, the same day, my sister went to see her specialist in the UK, who confirmed that they were ceasing all treatment. She had a matter of months left to live. Now, post-surgery, I wasn't officially allowed to travel due to COVID travel restrictions, but I managed to get an exemption from the government, and I was on one of very few flights out to Manchester in April to look after my sister and her two boys. A few weeks later, on Tuesday, May the 19th, Trudy collapsed suddenly at home. Despite trying CPR, she died in my arms before the ambulance arrived. She was 45. After some very emotional goodbyes to family, the only thing certain in my immediate future was 14 days in quarantine. But before I got on that plane, I gave my nephews an extra special Uncle Dom hug. And in those 14 days in quarantine, you kind of left alone with your own thoughts. And it got me thinking, where does our happiness actually come from? How can a year this shit make anyone happy? And the problem with those thoughts is when you've got 14 days, you really do get to invest in them. And it got me thinking, how can we find our happiness? And as is with death sometimes, I actually started thinking with renewed clarity about life and work and COVID and all the things that matters. In Bonnie Ware's book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, Bonnie will tell you the second biggest regret is I wish I hadn't spent so much time in the office. But you don't need me to tell you that. You know what's important on your deathbed, the love of friends and family, the legacy you're leaving behind, knowing that you've done things that made you happy, knowing that you've done great things. And yet few of us can honestly say this is how we're living our lives today. Take work, for example. Work today stems from the Industrial Revolution 300 years ago. That's when we were the machines, we were the robots. It was all about presenteeism. We worked on the production line. We were measured by speed and efficiency. It was about how much work you could get done in one day. Let's be honest, it was about making your boss richer. And in that time, we had these measures of success, economic growth and productivity. Well, it's 300 years later, and it's simply not working. Productivity growth has stagnated. And this idea of productivity that governments and businesses speak about all the time, it measures $10 million invested in a hospital, the same as $10 million spent on a coal fire power plant. And our most precious resource, the planet, is dying. And we have no planet B. So we're not happy at work, and we're not productive, all in the pursuit of productivity. And I think it's because we first thought that COVID was a fleeting moment. You see, COVID's like a snowstorm. After years of what seemed like endless sunshine outside, we looked out and we saw snow. So we did the right thing. We closed the windows and doors and we stayed inside. But a few weeks later, we looked out and it was still snowing. And we're like, it's not a snowstorm, it's winter. So we did the right thing. We went online, bought a new jumper, jacket and a scarf. But by the time they were delivered to our door, we realized it wasn't winter. It was the Ice Age. What was the moment when you realized that this was the Ice Age? Think about it. That moment when you sat there and thought, it's kind of not an 8-week thing anymore, this is it. It's been here for a while. In fact, maybe it's here forever. And how did that moment of realization make you feel about work? Something that you spend about a third of your time doing, by the way. I can tell you how it made 5,000 people feel across Australia, the US, Japan, France, and Germany in a recent study commissioned by Atlassian. Despite the fact that people weren't commuting to work and therefore saving that time, nearly half of respondents said they had less time for personal pursuits. Personal pursuits, the things that actually make you happy. And the number one complaint at this time, work-life balance. Me personally, I've put on 5 kilos since March. I'm drinking more and I'm sleeping less. That's COVID's fault, right? Or is it simply that I'm just not happy? That in my relentless pursuit of productivity, I've lost sight of what's really important. Now, we could spend the rest of this talk sharing stories about how unhappy we are, or we can actually flip the tables and talk about what we can do. I'm choosing to do the latter. I'd like you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to imagine a world where our measure of success is not productivity. I want you to imagine a world where instead of thinking about busyness and titles and bank balances, we think about our impact on the world. I want you to imagine a world where status isn't the reason for our existence. Open your eyes. I'd now like to introduce you to the personal moral inventory. The personal moral inventory is inspired by two pieces of work. The first, the work from the world of finance on something called the quadruple bottom line, aimed at getting businesses to report in a more rounded fashion. The second, an exercise that elite military personnel go through to self-assess themselves and their teammates before going into battle. I believe that these four things, productivity and profit, people, the planet, and our purpose, are the secret to our happiness. And what's important in the time of the Ice Age, the time we're in right now, is not to get distracted by the things we can't do, but to find the things that we can do. It's on us to take ownership and control of our own happiness. Let's do the exercise together. What I'm going to do is rate each area. -1, 0, or 1. 1 is you're nailing it. High fives all around. Good on you. 0 is you're getting by. Not awesome, not awful. And -1 is you're struggling. Here's mine for this year. For productivity and profit, I'm a 1. I have a good job. I have a good salary. I have a roof over my head. I can pay the bills. But here's the thing. You can't score more than a 1. So it becomes impossible to pack all your happiness into one category. And yet it's like we're all trying to get to a 2 on productivity. But to what extent? The next area is people. People is about how you think about your personal, mental, and physical health. You have to start with yourself. You have to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help others. This is also about how you impact family, friends, society. It's about being human and having a positive impact on humanity. For this, I scored myself a 0. Planet. Let's just say I took over 100 flights last year, so I'm going to score myself a -1. And finally, purpose. Purpose is about the impact you want to have and the legacy you want to leave behind. It's the why you do what you do. For this, I scored myself a 0. Now, I can already tell the keen beans in the room and online are trying to add this up or net this off. That is not how it works. Your positive impacts in one category doesn't mitigate your negative impacts in another category. For me, the fact that I'm financially well off doesn't make up for the fact that I'm killing the planet. It wasn't this realization, though, that got me thinking something had to change. Shortly after my sister passed away, I did this exercise on her behalf. And it got me thinking. For productivity and profit, she was a 0. She struggled financially. In her final few years, she couldn't work, but she got by. For people, she was a definite 1. She really knew her own identity. She invested in her life. She had a lot of fun. You all remember the party you were at with Trudy. And she invested in the local school, community, friends, and family. For planet, she was also a 1. She had a very low carbon footprint. She very rarely flew anywhere. She didn't own a car. She was avid at reduce, reuse, recycle. And if in winter, she would make you put a jumper on before she'd let you turn the heating on. And on purpose, she was also a strong 1. She knew the legacy she wanted to leave behind. She knew exactly why she was on this planet. Purpose isn't about being a superhero. It's not about wearing a cape or single-handedly saving the world. Trudy's purpose was to give those two boys the best upbringing in the small time that she had available. I learned 2 things doing this exercise for her. Firstly, I learned that happiness is contextual. Like for Trudy, the fact that she was financially struggling, she didn't let that dictate her happiness. She didn't put all her eggs in that basket and shut up shop. But the second realization hit me a lot harder. Despite everything, Trudy was happier than me. Here's where we get to take our happiness into our own hands. What I want you to do is to think about the areas where you would score 0 or -1 and commit to doing something to improve. So whatever you commit to do, I want you to give it a red hot go in the next summer. Why? Well, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. So we're going to do this right now. For me, my worst score was planet. I'm going to commit to going meat-free for 3 days a week, and then I'll reassess. I've already changed my energy provider to one that's carbon neutral, and I've invested in a company that's trying to save our oceans. Small steps, but then I can reassess. On people, I'm going to commit to be more present with the people I care about. For the last 4 years, I've essentially been single, and if I'm really honest, I was emotionally unavailable. But I've actually been very fortunate to meet someone amazing. So what I'm going to do is commit to investing in our relationship with openness, authenticity, and vulnerability. and a little bit of cheekiness. And on purpose, a year ago, I was actually a one on purpose. My purpose was twofold. It was the impact I was having on people through my public speaking, and it was the precious time I got to spend with my sister. But in a few short weeks at the start of 2020, both of those disappeared. And in the months since, I've been really trying to rediscover my purpose. And I'll be honest, I've really struggled to find it. And I think that's okay. But then I realized that I have this. Today, this moment. This is me rediscovering my purpose. What are you going to do? What action are you going to take? Whatever action you do take, you suddenly realize that you can stop hinging all your happiness on one category of the personal moral inventory. Instead, you invest in taking control of your own happiness. Our future is not predetermined. Our future is not written, and our future is not waiting for us. I'm building mine, and I believe you are building yours. And how happy we are in our future will be based solely on our action or inaction across all facets of life, not just the working week. I am the key to unleashing my own happiness, and I believe you are the key to unleashing your own happiness. I can safely say that Trudy didn't have any regrets, but she did have one wish: to see me on stage, live, presenting at TEDx. Thank you very much.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like active lifestyle, healthy eating, wearable tech, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. Support for this show comes from Brooks. I've really gotten into running this year, so I have to tell you about the Ghost 16 from Brooks, because this shoe is kind of a game changer. I found the cushioning to be next level comfortable. It's incredibly soft, yet surprisingly lightweight. It's literally comfortable every time my foot hits the pavement. The Ghost 16 from Brooks isn't just a shoe for me. It's a daily boost for my runs. Visit brooksrunning.com to learn more. Hi, TED listeners. This is your host, Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. What Dominic Price was talking about wasn't so much the feeling of being happy, but a state of deep contentment in your relationships, your work, and your impact on others. His concept of happiness reminded me of a quote from Mathieu Ricard, a former molecular biologist from France turned full-time Tibetan monk, who's been called by some the happiest person in the world. He said, "By happiness, I mean here a deep sense of flourishing that arises from an exceptionally healthy mind. This is not a mere pleasurable feeling, a fleeting emotion or a mood, but an optimal state of being." A group of neuroscientists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have been studying Ricard as well as other Tibetan monks, recording their brain activity during meditation. What they discovered was his brain produced a higher level of gamma waves than ever before recorded. Gamma waves are a type of electrical impulse in the brain, and they're linked to consciousness, attention, learning, and memory. People with higher gamma waves tend to be happier and calmer. Researchers found excessive activity in the parts of Ricard's brain associated with happiness, giving him what they believe to be also a diminished propensity toward negative thoughts. But Ricard says that happiness is a skill that he practices every day, not an innate quality he was born with. A lot of other smart people, too, have concluded that personal happiness, to a large degree, has less to do with circumstance and more to do with personal choice. But is that true? Or are some people born happier than others? And if so, then how much of our happiness is really in our hands? Well, one large-scale university study of more than 2,000 twins attempted to answer these questions. And their findings suggest that approximately 50% of overall life satisfaction may be due to genetics. Other studies have suggested that 10% may be attributed to external events, while 40% to individual activities.
If that's true, then 60% of our happiness seems to be out of our control. But that leaves a whopping 40% on the table, and we can do a lot with that. If 40% of our happiness can be determined by our intentional effort, by practicing happiness as a skill, like Ricard said, that provides a fantastic opportunity to try to start creating more happiness in our lives today. So if happiness is something that we can cultivate through practice, how? Well, since the world's happiest person is a Tibetan monk, meditation seems like a good place to start. A few years ago, I began practicing a specific type of meditation known as transcendental meditation. I meditate twice a day for 20 minutes each. Well, most days, that is. I know that sounds like a lot, but I've seen profound effects like better sleep, less anxiety, and I just feel more grounded. I've developed a routine with it, and I'm hooked. For the last 40 years, the benefits of transcendental meditation have been heavily researched by more than 200 universities and research institutions across the world. And the findings have suggested a lot of benefits, including an increase in overall happiness. With regular meditative practice, there's a boost in our body's natural happiness hormones, like serotonin, causing us to feel good. And studies suggest that meditation may even change our brain, causing the parts associated with compassion to grow and the parts associated with stress to shrink. Of course, those kinds of results take practice and time, but many studies show a myriad of health benefits are possible with a regular meditation practice of less than 20 minutes a day. So, could it really be this simple? Meditation has helped me find more happiness. Dominic Price's personal moral inventory has worked for him. There's so many different ways to do it, but the important thing is recognizing we have power and can guide ourselves toward cultivating a deeper sense of satisfaction and happiness in our lives. What do you do to practice happiness? Let me know on Twitter at ShoshUMD or on Instagram at ShoshanaMD, and be sure to tag us at #TedHealth. Thank you so much for listening today. This episode was produced by Transmitter Media with help from Mitchell Johnson and fact-checked by Vanessa Garcia Woodworth. And special thanks to Grace Rubenstein, Anna Phelan, Sammy Case, Maria Lagis, and Colin Helms. I'm Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. Stay well, and I'll talk to you next week.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.